From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and today is going to be a phenomenal day. You know, this show is all about entrepreneurship, and today we have somebody on the show that is a, I'll call her an entrepreneur. She's entrepreneurial, but she's a vocalist, and she's a rising star, and it's what we're doing here on our show is talking about winning and how to win. And today we have Kristen Brown, who is winning. She is now on The Voice, which is a TV show that is very, very popular. And she is continuing to march along that path. Now, what you may not know, you may have heard of Kristen Brown from The Voice, but what you may not know is that her dad and I are actually buddies. I've known him. I've known Kent since second grade. And when I started my show, he was sitting right there. And he said, "You want a radio show, Mark?" And I said, "Sure, I do. How do you do that?" And he set it all up with some other people for me. Anyway, long story short, I've known Kristen a long time. And we've seen her progress. And the first year we started the show was in 2015. And she came on the show as a probably a 17-year-old, 15-year-old, something like that. You were in high school with a couple other girls. And then later you did some, you'd actually helped me with a video for Riley, my granddaughter. And so thank you for being here. I haven't even let you talk yet. So
oh my gosh,
what's the emotion?
So cool.
You've got all this happening to you. Tell us about this emotional journey and where you're at today.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's been such an amazing journey so far. Just Voice even excluded, it's just been amazing. You know, it's cool because, you know, we're in the holiday season, and some of my first gigs were at your family
Christmas parties when I was
maybe 10 years old. I'd come with like little karaoke tracks and I'd sing at your family parties. And so to go from that to now being here and this year being on not just Team Gwen but also Team Legend on The Voice, like it's been an absolute dream. And every step I keep thinking, how is it going to get better? And it does. And it's so exciting.
Yeah. So on that last show, there was kind of a twist at the end, the legendary twist. Tell us about that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So when I knew I was singing This One's for the Girls, every single time, even in rehearsal with Winona, like you saw Gwen cry, you saw Winona cry, I would keep getting emotional during the song. One, because the line of the "This One's for the Girls Who Dream with Everything They Have," like that's been me my entire life. I want it so bad, and I love music and I love country music. And so it was just being there, I'd get kind of caught up in the moment of being in that dream. And then I would also think about, you know, all the young girls that I've been able to teach, like Riley and all of her friends and some of you guys who are out there today. Oh my goodness. Like I just, that's who I would think about whenever I got to the chorus. And there was a little girl in the front row who was their age. And I saw her and I was like, okay, I have to sing it to her. I thought maybe I'd sing it in the camera, but I saw her and I was like, the message is for her. And so I sang that breakdown chorus to her, and then I broke down. So it all happened at the same time. And so, you know, I didn't know how it would go. And then when she announced that Kara had won, and she was so deserving, Kara's phenomenal, I really thought I was going home. I didn't think there were any steals available. We all kind of try to guess, you know, what's available, who could steal, who this and that. And as far as I knew, they were gone. So when I was in the middle of giving my grand send off, that was when he pressed the button. And the look on my face is because I had no idea. I thought that was it. And so to then hear that sound go off, see the steal, it just hits you. I'm here for another week. I get to sing again, and I get to fight to sing again and again and again. And so it was insane. I cried the rest of the day, but so amazing.
Well, very inspirational for all of us. Again, to watch it again, it's still inspirational. What did the little girl in the front row that you were singing to, what was her reaction?
Oh my, that's what made me cry. Okay, so I walk over to her, and she's just looking up at me like, I can't believe, is she making eye contact with me? Is that what's happening? And then her mom started to cry, and all of my students' moms know, if the moms cry, I'm a goner. Like, I'm done. And so the mom started to cry, the little girl was so excited, and then I just lost it. I couldn't keep it together anymore.
Oh, well, you are here. You're back in town, and so I understand though that you teach, but you've had mentors along the way, up to and including here on The Voice. So maybe if you don't mind sharing with us maybe the importance of mentors, who has been really instrumental in your career and even on The Voice?
Yeah, I mean, I think that having a mentor for anything that you do, whether it be music, business, anything, they're really important to have because, I mean, we're not meant to walk any of these paths by ourselves. If we're always meant to have somebody to help show us our way, and that's what we all aspire to do for the next people behind us. And so, you know, even right now, as I was prepping to go on The Voice, local musician Kevin Marcy, he's been amazing. You know, Kevin's done everything. And so I would send him a message and say, is this normal? Should I be doing this? What should I do? And he's been a great help with that. You know, even all of my coworkers where I work at Voice Academy, we're all musicians. We all have each other's back. And my boss, she's known me since I was 8 years old. She was who did this for me.
Wow.
And so I would text her while I'm at the show going, am I doing this right? Does this sound okay? And like my own vocal coach that I have now, Jamie Templeton, it takes a village to do it. And so then going into The Voice, to have those mentors be Gwen Stefani is really a sentence.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
And so that was phenomenal. And I feel like the first moment I met Gwen, I felt like I'd known her for a million years. She just has that heart and that energy about her. And she would always say, like, I'm here for you. Like, it is part of a TV show, but we're going to give you the best performance that we absolutely can. And I want to give you all the information that I can give you. And that's just been the most amazing gift to hear what she has to say, because she knows quite a bit. So it's something that I'm really grateful for the mentors that I've had. And I really hope that I am doing half of that for the students that I get to meet.
Oh, well, Martina McBride, when she heard you sing that song or helped you, what was that? How did that go?
The Martina McBride thing, that kind of surprised me. So I had just watched the episode and I was on Instagram, as you are, and I just opened Martina McBride's page. I'm like, oh, she has a story up. I wonder what that is. And it's the video of the song.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, cool. So Martina saw it. That's awesome. Because, you know, I love Martina. I've always looked up to her. And I really look up to Carrie Underwood. And Carrie Underwood looks up to Martina. It's a family tree of music. And so to see that, it was super surreal. I called my dad right away. I was like, look at Martina's Instagram.
That's awesome. Okay, so yeah, you teach lessons. Yeah, Riley, my granddaughter, took lessons there for a while, but you here in the audience, we have some of your other people that you know, some students. Talk to us about that. And does teaching it, when you teach, obviously you're getting something out of that, but does it make you feel like you need to be better if you're going to be teaching it? I mean, or something like that, like you learn through the teaching too?
There, it's really fun because with each individual student that comes in, while I hope that I'm able to teach them as much as I can, they also teach me a lot because none of them are the exact same. I always say I don't teach in a cookie cutter way. Everybody's different. And so it's just one of those things where when they come in, they tell me what they want to do. I try to help them avoid the road bumps if they can and try to help them through all the hard parts and make the easy parts even more special to them. Let them know that they're extremely special, that their talent is unlike anybody else's, no matter the level, no matter what they do. They're their own unique person and they need to be proud of that.
Yeah. And by the way, to the studio audience that is behind me right now, there's going to be Q&A for you at the end, so be thinking
Think
of a
over.
Thinking. Her dad will want you to try to stump her, so try to
he
come
will.
Up with a really
That's
tough
true.
Question for Kristen. Okay, so everybody's going to need one. If you're shy, I'm calling on you first.
Oh, it's like school.
I love it. So, highlights of the career. Okay, we got The Voice. I assume this is the highlight.
Oh, yeah.
This is like, but you're still going. You're on this ascent. You're a rising star, but I know you opened for Toby Keith one time. Mm-hmm. Stacy and I and our friends went out and watched you. Talk to us about some of these milestones along this career that got you to this.
Yeah,
level.
I mean, I've been really, really lucky with the things I've been able to do. I remember opening for Toby Keith, for Rascal Flatts, Morgan Wallen, like all those guys kind of back pre-pandemic was when all that was happening and really able to gig a lot. Was on a radio tour as the shutdown was happening. And so that was cool to kind of get a taste of what that was. You know, had a song on CMT, which was unreal. And then the pandemic hits and all music shuts down. But then I actually self-produced my first Christmas song and it was the first song that I did completely on my own. And so I hired all the musicians. I wrote the song myself. I edited the music video, got it all distributed. I tried to go the business route. I went, I'm going to figure out how this works and I'm going to do the research and I'm going to get it done. And the idea for it came probably September 30th. The song was out by the day after Thanksgiving. And everything was done. It was a very quick turnaround, but it's something that I look back on, and it's not even just that I'm so proud of the song, which I am, but I'm proud that I was able to do all of that myself. I was able to figure it out and be the businesswoman that way.
Well, I remember I was going through my text when I texted you earlier, and did you do some of that at Pottery World right down the street?
Did you do
a part of the video down there?
Oh my gosh. So the video is actually filmed on Black Friday. So the day song came out, it was 30 minutes before Pottery World opened. They said, you have 30 minutes to get this done.
I think I connect you with the Pottery World.
You did. It was amazing. It was funny. My dad, I was like, I really love this set that they've got going over at Pottery World. I wonder if I could get in. He goes, you know who to call, right? No. Did you call Mark? I was like, you're right. It was 30 minutes before they opened. They said, you have this much time to get it done. We shot it super quick. There's even a piece of, if you watch the video, there's a piece of black cardboard behind the fireplace because we forgot that you could see through it into the next set. So we're like, okay, we have to make it look like a living room, but it was amazing.
That's awesome. Okay, so I'm imagining the life of a emerging star is chaotic, but I'm also imagining you connect to an audience. I'm trying to think of like what the most rewarding piece of this is, the way you connected to that little girl and connecting to an audience. How would you describe that as relates to sort of this notoriety that's emerging? What's the most special part of this thing?
I mean, everybody's goal when they go into wanting to have a career in music, you know, we all have the cliche dream of we want to be like the Taylor Swifts and the Beyonce. Like, we would love that level of a career. But truly, at the end of the day, outside of making music and loving that aspect of it, I would rather have a bunch of interactions at my shows, getting to be one-on-one with the people who are touched by my songs, who relate to my songs. That's your community versus just being widely known a little bit. I'd rather have those personal, intimate moments. And that's why I love to perform live. And I really love to get to talk to people after shows. I maybe talk to them too long, but it's fine. It's one of my favorite things. That's what makes it worth it.
Okay, so I want to dive a little bit deeper into what inspired you as a young person or what guided you. And I know a father's relationship is unique.
Mm-hmm. Sure. My dad is fantastic. I mean, both my parents are so supportive in terms of my music, and they always have been. And it's been really fun because with my dad being in bass fishing, like country music and bass fishing, practically the same thing.
Yeah,
it's the same world. And so, but it was fun because, you know, my dad doing his radio show with media nonstop, I was able to really start to do media training at 9 years old. And he would help me learn how to not be afraid of a microphone, how to reiterate a question in your answer, how to really go about all the little things as I was growing up. So I got to grow up in it and grow up in the confidence of knowing how to do it and having just, I had parents who would pick me up every time it didn't go well and say, okay, it's all right. We can make it better. It's going to be fine next time. But I truly have the most amazing support system.
So we talked about your dad. Look, give me an example of what your mom will do to pick you up or support you in some
way. My mom is my biggest cheerleader. Oh my gosh. So like where my dad is always like, you know, you're doing a great job, he'll give me more of the constructive criticism. My mom is the one who, without a doubt, every single time is like, I love it. It's great. I support you. Like whatever decision you make. So they're a great combo deal. Because like my dad sees it from the business side and my mom goes off of what does she feel from the music. And so it's really cool to be able to have both of those perspectives.
Yeah. And I've known I've known your dad since second grade. Your mom, I didn't know her as well, but they lived around the corner. Your mom and her family lived around the corner. I think they still live in that. She still lives in that house.
Yeah.
Her husband was the umpire of my little league. And he had a really, I don't know if you remember him well, because I know he's not alive anymore, but he had a very loud demeanor when it comes to ringing somebody up when they struck out.
He did.
And I didn't like the sound of that when I struck out. And he probably never did that to you, but he was known in our circles as, you know, somebody that was a tough umpire.
Very much. And he was so funny because his whole thing was he supported my music like no other. But he was absolutely terrified of me going into the music business. He was like, it's scary out there. You're not wrong, but I love this so much. And he would get on board. So,
and I think today's the anniversary of your dad's parents' death.
Yeah. And same day, different years. It's so crazy. Yeah, I'm actually wearing her necklace today too. That's funny you say that.
Wonder what they would be, what they're thinking.
Over the moon. Over the moon. I mean, it's so funny because all my cousins and I, we all talk, and I'm a spitting image of my dad's mom. And so everyone's always like, oh, well, you probably would have been the favorite because I was the only one that she didn't really get to meet. And so they're like, it would have been Kristen. Of course it would have. And then, you know, I did get to meet my grandpa because I was born early. And so he got to meet me right before he passed. Aww. And so I just know they would be front row living for this. They would have been yelling when they thought that I was going home on Monday night.
Well, your dad's mother, she's more stern, but the dad, Bill, he was a little league coach for us and just the nicest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. I think he would be like super supportive, maybe like your
absolutely.
Mom. Yeah. Okay, so I want to open it up to our audience.
Hey, guys.
And there are, 15 people in our audience. This feels like a Taylor Swift concert because there's a lot of young girls here. We got Rocco
girls.
In the front row, though. Rocco, you want to start us off, Rocco, with a question? You got a question?
No.
You don't have a question?
He said, I sure don't.
Who wants to raise their hand? All right, Stacey's going to have a question.
Have you been recognized in public from your parents on?
You know, it's so funny. I haven't. My parents have, which is really, which is something else. They're like, oh, your daughter's on The Voice. I was like, I did all the work. What the heck? I was actually shopping with one of my best friends a couple weeks ago, and we had been through a few stores in downtown Sac. Out of nowhere, she just goes, you know, I'm really disappointed in our town watching NBC because we've been in 4 stores and no one's noticed. I was like, it's fine. We're good. So not yet, but I don't know. Maybe.
What? It's coming. What's it feel like, though, to have a fan club building and emerging?
It's so cool because I've been really lucky to have my fan base locally from my hometown, mm-hmm. and that's a love that is unreal. But it's cool to have people from all over the country now messaging me and saying how, like, this one's for the girls. Had they related to that? I have a lot of high school girls who are messaging me saying that it touched them and affected them. And so that part's been really, really fun.
That's great. Who else has a question? All right. Yeah.
What moment in your life made you think like, wow, I meant to say?
I'm going to repeat that question too, just for the podcast, because I don't think they heard you. What moment in your life, and I didn't hear the rest of it either.
Did I realize that I had to sing, that was my thing?
That's
a really good question, first of all. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, the joke answer that I always give, which is kind of still half true, when I realized I couldn't kick a ball or play any sports, we were really limited on what we could do at that point. But, you know, I don't know what it was. I always grew up loving to sing and to make music. And my mom, even in a baby book when she was pregnant with me, she says, every time I play music, she gets really into it. I think she might be a musician or a producer or something. So it's weird that she put that down. So like, the Disney princess songs got me hooked. And then, you know, Taylor Swift after that. Yeah, so here we are.
You did musical theater too, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. Love musical theater. I did the princess party birthday thing for a while. So I got to keep doing that as a job while still singing country music. It was a great time.
Sounds like a great job. Okay, who else has got a question? Okay, Rye.
Is there good food backstage?
Good food backstage.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, so they have these breakfast burritos I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. So they would make these breakfast burritos before we would go on stage, and there were people who would take a couple extras and they'd keep putting them in their purse, and we'd eat on them for a couple days for leading up to being able to actually go on the show. Because when you go do any of your filming with your coach, they'd also have those breakfast burritos. And you just watch people loading up those veggie burritos in their bag and then just putting it on their shoulder and leaving, and they're eating it for at least a week. It was great.
That's cool. Great question. Yes, I've been in the back there.
Who's your favorite coach?
Favorite coach.
Well, now I have two, so that seems so wrong to choose. They were all, you know, they're all so, so nice. At this point, I've spent the most time with Gwen. But then on the same hand, John saved my life from having to come home. So I feel like it's an impossible choice. They're all really amazing. I have to stick with my two. But Niall and Reba are so incredibly nice as well. You know, Niall's been one of my biggest cheerleaders on the show, and he's not even my coach. So you got to love him.
Well, you can tell, like, when Reba, even on that video there, but before too, on the previous show, you could tell by the look on in Reba's eyes how much she respected you. And yeah,
thank you. She's so kind. And then, I mean, to have the queen of country music, when I did my blind audition, what I remember, it was a little blurry because I was so nervous. When she told me I did the Carrie Underwood song Justice, I was like, that's all I needed. I can go home now. Please let that air so I can make that my ringtone.
Well, Gwen just played locally. I saw her on a billboard in Rockland the other day. Did you go see her or connect with her when she was in town? Or can you talk about that?
So here's the thing. I wasn't here.
Oh.
I was in Oklahoma playing Reba's restaurant.
Oh, really?
With Jordan Rayner from Team Reba. So funny. Everyone was like, you're Team Gwen. I'm sure you went and you saw her. I was like, no. I was in Atoka, Oklahoma. But I mean, if she gets a chance to come back, I'd love to see her and chat with her and watch one of her shows. Cause you know, I mean, it's Gwen Stefani. I want to watch that happen.
Heck yeah.
But I didn't want to be like, hey Gwen, what's up? Like, I don't know. She's really great.
Yeah. Your mom and dad probably wanted backstage passes or something.
Oh, of course they did. Absolutely.
All right. Any more questions? Yeah. Jill.
Well, I did go see Gwen and she was fantastic.
I have no doubts.
It was so ridiculously fun. We're so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'd say I got to see you when you were with Auburn Road when you sang here.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
That's right. Yeah,
our
played did another event. I forgot about that. And by the way, this is Jill Gialdo speaking, so make sure I'll repeat a little bit just because the mic, want to make sure the mic picks it up.
How can we support you? It's your community.
Oh.
Is the show live? Like, are you, is it?
Okay, so some of the show is pre-filmed. Some of it's pre-filmed and some of it's live. Right now the show's on hiatus. Everybody goes home after playoffs. The PAs get to go on vacation. They get to do whatever they want to do. And then everybody regroups for lives. And so right now we're going into playoffs. The playoffs have already been filmed. I know all the things. Isn't that crazy? I know. I've had to know since I got back from... Once I got back from filming everything, when the show went on hiatus, I just had to know that I was Team Legend and not say anything. That was crazy.
Yeah, I could only imagine.
It's a really hard secret. I felt like Hannah Montana forever. I was like, they can't know. But you know, the best thing right now is I'm loving getting to come out and perform for my community. A lot of people do think the show is live. So whenever I'm trying to get gigs going on out here, they're like, you're not here, you're there. I am very much here. So I would love to keep performing.
So we get to vote on the next one. So we can get like vote parties going.
Yes, so the lives are voting, and then the playoffs, it's up to our coach still. So everybody pressure John.
Is there anything beyond let's say on digital media or voting that your community that you could use from your community? That was sort of Jill's other half.
Yeah,
of
you know,
question.
I mean, the main thing right now, going into Christmas time, I would love if everybody could play my Christmas song.
Yeah.
Support your
we can
local
buy a Christmas
musicians.
Song,
you can
though,
buy
right?
the
we
Christmas can buy song. It. You okay. can stream it at your Christmas parties. It's a bit of a tearjerker, so prepare.
Oh, there's one. It's what's the name of the song?
It's called Christmas Spirit. The music video is up now. I'm only 6,000 views away from it being 100,000 views.
Like,
so I'm hoping to cross that threshold this year.
Would you, maybe not right this minute, but would you be up for singing something on this show?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I'll put that in your mind in case it's the Christmas song or something else that you might want to sing. Obviously, there's no, well, you got a couple of your students. Maybe they could be your background singers.
Yes, it's happening. No pressure, but we got this. And you know, it's fun, actually. Ooh, I haven't said this anywhere. This could be fun. So then I have the Christmas song that's out now, and so I'm hoping people will listen to that and support me, come to live shows. But at the top of the year, I'm actually releasing my very first mainstream single. So it's not going to be a holiday song. It's going to be one that you can play all year long. Nice. But I just took pictures of the cover art for all that last week. It's going literally in an hour to go record the song. The backing track's all Luke Bryan's band. It's been in the works for a while. But yeah, so when that comes out, we should definitely all meet up again. We'll have another one of these.
I love it. Oh, perfect. Now, is it a breakup song? You mentioned Taylor Swift earlier, and she's got a lot of breakup songs from what I hear.
She does. You know, just one or two really is what I can think of. This one, it's fun. The song idea actually came from, I'm a big fan of the TV show Nashville. And so I was watching it and there was a part of the storyline I just really liked. And I thought, there needs to be a song kind of about this. And so that's where that song came from. It wasn't even like my own personal experiences, but I always have fun writing from TV and movies.
Mm-hmm. So it's probably get a little bit of a love song.
I don't know. You're going to have to wait and see.
Secret. Love it.
I'll start teasing it soon. So.
Okay. I love it. Okay. Any other questions from the audience? Yes. Go ahead.
What inspired you to join the Voice?
Oh, so.
What inspired her to join the Voice?
It's really funny. So I actually had tried out for season 23. It didn't go well. I submitted an audition and I got a no really, really fast. And I took it kind of hard. But I thought, you know what? It's fine. I'll try again another time. And on my 24th birthday last year, an ad came up on my Instagram. I feel like Instagrams really should sponsor this at this point because
yeah,
I mentioned them a lot. So an ad came up and it was promoting the open call. And there was going to be one on my birthday. And I thought, I don't have to get dressed up twice. Let's just knock this out and see what, like, I don't lose anything in trying. Only thing I could do is gain something from it. And I submitted the audition and it worked. And then I did a few more preliminary rounds and I found out at the beginning of the year, of this year, that I would be getting a blind audition and I had to be really quiet about it. I found out my song in May had to be quiet about it. Wow. And I could announce it in September.
So the build up, the application or the audition tape or whatever, and then it's still really competitive because there must be thousands of people competing with you.
And you never know what they're looking for. You know, every season's different. And so I had kind of hoped with Reba being a coach that they'd lean into that country a little bit. And so the song that I sang for my first audition was Stand By Your Man. And it was just
classic.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give them that classic country with the Carrie Underwood belts that I love to do. And so that's what I submitted and it ended up working. I got sick for the second round of preliminary auditions.
Oh, boy.
We still made it through. I don't know what happened, but it worked out. So yeah, if you guys see it on Instagram, go for it. You got this.
That's awesome. Okay, what else? Rocco's got a question.
Where's the voice like at?
So the voice is at the Universal, you know where Universal Studios is? So it's on the Universal lot. So whenever we would drive to the show, we could see the Hogwarts castle. I didn't even see that until Battles. We were there for how many times during Blinds and someone pointed it out. I said, that's the Hogwarts castle. Mm. That's kind of cool.
So that's Southern California, right? Yeah. So it's a quick flight from here.
Yeah, it's only an hour. So it was funny. Everybody from the show, we're all from different parts of the country. And for the first little bit when we got back for Battles, I was so tired and I didn't know why. And I was just like walking around. I'd leave my room pretty late and I told everyone, I'm exhausted. And they go, it's okay. It's that jet lag. And I was like, yeah. It's the jet lag from Sacramento to Southern California. You're right. You got me. So I leaned into that hoping.
Did you make any close friends while you were
here? I made a lot of really good friends. That's the really fun part about this season, especially, you know, everyone always says, you know, we're a family, but we really are. You live with these people for months at a time and they're the only people in the world that know exactly what you're going
through.
Who's
the weirdest one?
Oh, well, you know, just because she's one of my very best friends, I can pull her like, she's not weird. She is the funniest person I've ever met. I'm really close with Jordan Rayner of Team Reba, the one with the shades and the hat. Mm-hmm. She's one of my really, really good friends. And then Dylan Carter, also from Team Reba. I had a lot of Team Reba friends. Oh. Dylan Carter was also a really, really good friend of mine. He still is. Yeah, it's so much fun because then they're all like your neighbors. I said it was the closest thing probably to, I didn't go to college. But I thought that might be the closest thing it was where everyone's coming over into your room and then going, oh, but I have an early film day tomorrow. Oh, I'm in the afternoon. Well, let's get dinner after. Like, it just felt cool.
That's awesome. Okay, other questions? Yeah, Ash.
So are you guys living in like a dorm style living experience?
We are in a hotel. So we're hotel living. Yeah, we were the Suite Life Zach and Cody for real for a little bit. But it was so much fun, you know. It becomes your home. It becomes your home away from home. You know where everything is. You know everything about it. And so you all just get to hang out by the pool together, get to know each other, go out to dinner. And it was funny. A majority of the time, we didn't even talk about music. We just talked about what your life was back home.
Well, it sounds like it's really, really fun, but there has to be some part that is like not fun or super stressful.
I mean, you are singing for your life every single day. And so if your main thing is you're wanting to keep your, not just your vocal health, but your actual health. You know, I got a little under the weather the week of Blinds and that was terrifying to me. And it was really just because of stress. I mean, you want it so bad. Luckily, it was all really supportive environment. Even my parents, they'd say, I want to make sure you're enjoying this. And I was like, I am, but I am stressed out all the time. Yeah. But then once you get on the stage, you can kind of channel those nerves down. Mm-hmm.
How do you channel? Do you have a breathing technique or something else you do to, because we all, you know, whenever we have to get up in public speak or something like that, we've got to do something to be ready.
You know, during Blinds, I decided the chairs were empty until they proved me otherwise. Because you just see the back of the chairs. I was like, there's no one in them. But if they turn around, then Great. Awesome. Prove to me that there's someone in there. And so that was my strategy for blinds. I actually would try to not look at them. And then I'd like use my peripherals and I'd see Gwen Stefani and I was like, cool. And I walked the other way. And then I was like, looked over and I saw Reba, and you hear in the, in my blind audition, you just hear me kind of go like when I'm singing, and that would be that time. But then even for battles, it's just you do dress rehearsals and stuff. So I try to visualize everything and go, okay, visualize standing on the stage, visualize walking out there. And every time I would, my heartbeat would go really fast.
Oh,
and
then just I'd visualizing it, you'd be like.
And so then by the time I got there, I didn't feel that anymore, which was interesting.
That's cool.
But then this one's for the girls. I was just like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. And that didn't work.
Well, I mean, it can be such an emotional song, but you played through the emotion without, you know, having it affect your voice.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
In a negative way, anyway. It was so like hard. Probably helpful.
Oh my gosh. It was so difficult because I knew I was going to cry. I was really hoping I didn't, but.
That's what I was thinking when you were just singing it a second ago. I thought I was going to cry.
You know, it's something about that song. Martina knew what she was doing.
Yeah. Any other questions? Anybody who hasn't asked one yet, but keep going, who wants to ask one, I want to make sure. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Isabel.
When was the last time that you filmed?
Oh, and the last time we filmed, I want to say the end of filming, and I can say this because this was like, you could get tickets to go when it was time. I want to say it was filmed end of September, I think it was. I think that was when it was. We all came home in October.
Okay, not too long ago.
Yeah, not too long.
Yeah right.
Do they provide the clothes or do you?
This is my favorite question, and everybody always asks. So, some of the pieces for when we're meeting with our coaches, some of those are ours. So, when I met with Gwen for my battle, that was my whole outfit. I was very proud of it. but otherwise, they do shop for you. I wish that was in my closet already. Most of that was. For blinds, it was. The only thing that's not mine was the shirt. But for battles and then knockouts and then going into playoffs, those outfits, they do. You give them a kind of a vision board of what you like, and then they buy you all the clothes, and it's the best day of your life. You look at a rack, and you just try on clothes all day. It's really fun.
Are there, so you get the clothes, are there other kinds of sponsor sort of opportunities that you get that is like almost like fringe benefits?
You know, that'd be really cool. But mainly, you know, we go in, they dress us for everything, but then it's really just back and forth.
Do you have to give back the clothes?
No.
Oh, good.
It's so fun. And it's so funny because there's a closet at my parents' house right now that has that shirt. It has the dress that I wore in battles. It has the pantsuit that I wore in knockouts. It has the outfit I'm not going to reveal for playoffs. And it had my Gwen sweatshirt and my John jacket. But I had to hide the John jacket because no one knew yet. So it's all just like locked away. But
I'm looking back there for Elvia. Where is she at? Oh, there she is right there. You don't have a question, Elvia?
Well, as a parent, what is the best maybe suggestion or advice that you would have parents if they have a young girl or young daughter who is trying to get into the business?
Advice from parents. That's a great question. I love that. You know, I love that just from the prospect of a parent, but also like as a teacher, it's kind of what I try to think about it when I go into helping the kids. How can I help make their parents' job easier going into this? The best piece of advice I can give is make sure you're surrounding your kid with people who you trust and that you love and that you get really good vibes from. That's the most important thing, because that's going to help shape who they are, not just as an artist, but as a person. And so you want to make sure you're surrounding them with people that believe in them, that give them the right advice, that push them to be better at their craft and who are honest with them about their craft. And just making sure like they know that they love it, that they know who they are, because this business has a tendency of trying to tell you who you are. And so if you go into it knowing who you are and the music you want to make and the message you want to send, there's really nothing that can stop you. Then just from the parent side, supporting them and being there when inevitably they will fall down every now and then. But, you know, that's. The difference is the ones that make it get back up, but being there for them is the best thing.
And there's people that love to sing and that I'm sure you've taught over the years that love it, want to do it, but they're maybe not as gifted? Are there areas to steer them within entertainment or within, let's call it, the industry that can be real productive for them?
You know, it's so funny. I just had this conversation with a student not even 24 hours ago because they were talking to me. They're a little younger, and they were talking to me about what they wanted to do. And I told them, you know, everybody wants to be the Beyonce. Everybody wants to be the Taylor Swift and sell out the stadiums. But realistically, there's only a small amount that can do that part. But there's a huge amount that can write the songs, that can be a part of a team that writes the songs, that can produce the songs. We need more women producers. Mm-hmm. Like, we need that out there. The men are fantastic, but we need more of the women. You can write songs, you can produce them, you could be a videographer for music videos. You can, like, there's so much. You can be a stylist for the entertainment industry. You can, like, you could shop music, you could be in radio, you could do anything. There's so many avenues for it.
Well, in terms of the men, let's talk country music for a second. Mm-hmm. And is that more dominated by men? Because you hear about Taylor Swift, and she's obviously a superstar, bigger than any of the guys.
Yeah.
But there's from a quantity standpoint, there's more guys with popular songs or more popular men's songs.
You know, it's so funny because I feel like it kind of goes in, it swings a little. So in the 90s, you had more of a female-driven country music world with the Shanias and the Martinas and Trisha and everybody. That it was very female-driven. We've slowly kind of turned the other direction, and now it's more of a male-dominated industry. And that's not saying the men don't deserve to be there. They work super hard, and they deserve everything that they work for. But there are also a lot of women that work really hard and deserve everything they're working for.
So Riley and one of her friends and Stacy and I, when we went and saw Morgan Wallen, and we've been to a few concerts together, who's your favorite male country artist? Because you mentioned Morgan Wallen earlier, and I'm like, oh, I know that guy.
He was really nice. You know, we opened for him right when he was doing Up Down with Florida Georgia Line. Mm-hmm. And so he wasn't the big star yet. Whiskey Glasses hadn't been released. It was Ace of Spades in Sacramento. And I remember the main act can get both dressing rooms if they want it. And we were opening at the time, and we're like, oh God, what are we going to do? It's Friday night in Sacramento. We have to go somewhere else to get ready. This is going to be so difficult. And he was like, oh, they're girls? Give them the room with the door. We'll take the lounge. Oh. And like, it was just really cool. His whole team stood on the side of the stage and gave us high fives as we walked off. They were great. I haven't been to one of his concerts since then. He's, you know, in the stadiums and everything now. But of the males, I'm a really big Chris Stapleton fan. I think his music is phenomenal and his vocal is amazing. Like, I'm definitely a Stapleton gal.
Who, besides Taylor Swift, is Taylor Swift your favorite in terms of the women or the current women, or is there somebody else?
You know, I love Taylor for everything that she does. I have a signed Taylor Swift photo in my room at my parents' house. I went to a concert when I was about Riley's age, and it was the Speak Now concert. She walked by and I held her hand.
Oh.
And then the next day I learned how to play guitar, and I'm just saying, I think the two might be connected.
The magic touch.
Exactly. And like, first song I learned how to play was Our Song. I was like, wow, it just works so perfectly. So I love Taylor, big Carrie Underwood fan, love her. And then I'm a really big Ashley McBride fan. Like, I think people are kind of sleeping on Ashley McBride. She's phenomenal. Her and Brandi Clark write some serious amazing songs.
Right. Any other questions from the audience? Yes.
Did you go into the auditions with an open mind about who you wanted to be your coach, or did you
who did you want to be your coach?
Okay, so when I went into the audition, I was definitely, it's funny, everybody, as we're prepping for the blinds, we all say, we just need one. Like, just anyone that wants us, they can have us. And so we all had like the people that, you know, we would love to have pick us. I went into it really going, you know, if I get Reba, if Reba turns, I'm going on Team Reba. Nothing will stop me. And then they tell you before you walk out there, they say, make sure you listen. If they turn, listen to what they tell you. They could change your mind. And I thought that was a lie, and it was not a lie. I went on the stage and they were talking to me. They actually cut a lot of Gwen's pitch. It didn't air. So she was talking. She had plans laid out. She had everything that she wanted to do. She had walked up to me. She had paced back and forth. She was fighting really hard.
I could tell how serious she was about everything.
She was very serious. And then she turned so fast that I was just kind of like, I felt drawn to her. I felt like I had known her. And then, so then I'm standing there going, I had a plan. What am I doing? And you have 10 seconds to dictate your entire life. And I just remember thinking, I have to trust my gut. It's gotten me this far. I have to listen to it. And so I went with Gwen. Reba's fantastic. But I went with Gwen going, you know, I just felt connected to her. But also battles were the next round. And I figured there's going to be a lot of country girls on Team Reba. And so I'm like, I might stand out a little on Team Gwen. I don't know. But yeah, it was a little strategy, but mainly just the draw to her. But yeah, I threw my plan out the window. My goodness.
That's awesome. Any other questions? No, Stacey.
I just have a question about balance. So you have all of these balls in the air. You're traveling, you're doing performances all over, and you're still a very young woman. And so how do you balance your professional life with your personal life and really keep it real?
It's a great question, you know, and it's a funny question. Literally on my way here, I got a text from one of my very best friends in the whole world. With Thanksgiving being next week, everyone's coming back into town. He sent me a text, and it was the most realistic text for anybody who's friends with me right now. And it said, what's your 10-day schedule? What's your next 10 days worth of time? Because I'm not the kind of person right now who you could go, we're going out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're going to dinner tomorrow. Does that work? It doesn't work. Because mm-hmm. I still work 3 days a week teaching, and those are full days. And then I'm trying to record and get everything all set up. Luckily, you know, I have a boyfriend who comes to all my shows and helps tear up, set down. So I get to see him then. And my parents come to all the shows. I try to sleep. That's a goal. but I mean, I spend a lot of time in the car, and I spend a lot of time I write all my music actually in the car. I write while I drive, and then I just put it to music later. So I'm never not working.
You just do use like a voice recorder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Voice memo.
Yeah. I get a lot of ideas while I drive, and I just hum out melodies. And when I get home, I'll pull out my guitar, and then that's typically how the songs are written. But I mean, the balance part's really, really hard. You have to be okay with giving up some things that a lot of people wouldn't be, but that's part of it. You get in what you get out what you put in. And so it's one of those kind of things. I wouldn't take back anything. I don't regret anything. And I have a nice support system of friends who support me, believe in me, and understand when I say, hey, I can't go do this. I can't go do that. And yeah. So it's hard, but it's possible.
We're lucky that you came on the show for sure.
Oh, I so wasn't excited. Missing this, Mark. Are you kidding?
I am so excited. But you've had the same boyfriend for quite a while.
Yeah, four years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is he ecstatic about
so
this?
So supportive. Yeah. Really excited. It was a really hard secret for him to keep because he obviously knew. Because, you know, I can't just leave for 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd be like, where did she go? So he's been so, so supportive about it. And, you know, he doesn't do music. It's not his thing. He's in finance. He's very reserved and very quiet, but he's very good at the, I'm going to go pack up her stuff where she doesn't meet and greet or do stuff like that. So he's very, put a studio in our house. So like we took an old laundry room and took the door off of the closet, put foam pads on it. He put lights in the top and we just set up a home studio. So now I can work there.
Oh, that's so cool. Other questions? No? Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Especially for the young girls.
Yes.
Who are looking maybe to get into something like this. You've done Auburn Rose, mm-hmm. worked with a group, and then, of course, now you're individual. What are some of the highlights, maybe, of one or the other, the benefits?
Absolutely, and it's cool because they're both so different, but at the end of the day, you're in both, so there's a little fleck of yourself in both of them. But I would say with a group, if you play with a group, it's really cool just to get other perspectives. I mean, it's like anything in business, like, the more brains you can get on a project, the more ideas come and everybody inspires everybody else. And so it becomes a collaborative process. And that was so fun. And I had such an amazing time getting to work with those girls and make the music that we did. And then going solo, I was able to then take everything that I had learned in a group. And what that did was it solidified all of my confidence in my own decisions. Because then it's just you. And so you go, I've done this before, but you just didn't do it all before. So it's just adding a little bit of the extra weight, but you get to go, I think I know what I want to do this time around. I know the vision I see for myself. And you can still, like we talked about mentors, you can ask the mentors if you're going in the right direction. You should never be on your own. But yeah, it's cool because you just kind of get to play around with how you want to control your own life at that point.
Okay, so two final questions and then we'll let you sing a song.
I'm singing a tune?
You know how to do that.
I think a little bit.
No problem. Okay, so number one, what question did we not ask you that like we should have asked? Hmm. And then also just sort of the words of wisdom to the aspiring artist, what would you tell her or him if he's on his way up the...
So this is the shameless plug for the thing where you said, what didn't we ask? If you want to follow me online, you can find me at Kristen Brown Music.
Kristen Brown Music, that's on like Instagram.
Instagram, Facebook, everything. I tried to keep it really consistent. And then top of the year, I have a website. It's Kristen Brown Official, and you can see where I'm playing in the area. I have an announcement coming out tomorrow in terms of shows, which will be really, really cool. So keep an eye out for that. But everything's kind of happening at the top of the year. We're going to get merch out. We're going to do all the things. So check out the website for that. And then in terms of just advice for anybody, male, female, who wants to get into this, I would say it's worth it. It's 100% worth it to follow what you love, whether or not it gets you to the maximum stardom you want to do, and whether, not even just music business, any business in general, if it's what you love, it's 100% worth it to try. You don't lose anything in trying it. You would just know that you did it. And if it doesn't work out, now you know, but if it works out, you get to live that dream. So don't be afraid to just take that leap of faith. It's terrifying. It's not easy, but it will be the best thing you ever did.
100% worth it if you try. What a great mantra. Okay, so have you decided what you want to sing?
What do you want me to sing?
Oh, well, it's almost Christmas time, but I wanted you to do
a country song?
Country song? Okay, Riley said a country song, so, okay, pick one out.
Am I just doing a cappella? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I guess so. We don't...
Sure.
We don't have any...
Riley's birthday, she can sing a happy birthday.
Oh. Birthday for Riley! Yes! All right, I'll do one that I know you guys are going to at least know. I'm going to back this up a little because we know how that goes. We'll do it a cappella, why not? Dry lightning cracks across the skies. Those storm clouds gather in her eyes. Her daddy was a mean old mister. Mama was an angel in the ground. The weatherman called for a twister. She prayed, blow it down. There's not enough rain in Oklahoma to wash the sins out of that house. There's not enough wind in Oklahoma to rip the nails out of the past. Shatter every window till it's all blown away. Every brick, every board, every slamming door blown away. Till there's nothing left standing, nothing left yesterday. Every tear soaked whiskey memory blown away. Blown away.
We are blown away. Definitely blew us away today. Kristen Brown Music. We are so lucky to have you in our world. Thanks for taking an hour out of your day in this really hectic time. So
Thank you for having me.
We love you. Thank you.
Love you guys.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.